The blurb calls the poetry an astonishing confluence of music and meaning unprecedented in American poetry. And while the music is evident just picking up the book and reading a line or two, or best, hearing it in the author's voice, the poetry's meaning is rich with allusions to the end of the American Empire, the notion of past lives lived on lost mythical continents, and a play-by-play account of what it might be like in the effort to become fully human. All done in the serial manner in which the narrative of the spirit is unveiled in the act of writing. The blurb is on the back of Nod House, the latest book from poet Nate Mackey, published by New Directions. A professor for many years at the University of California, Santa Cruz, he now teaches at Duke, and is also the author of books of fiction, criticism, and four other books of poetry, including the 2006 National Book Award-winning Splay Anthem. We talked to him today via Skype from North Carolina. Nate, welcome. You know, in our last interview, we discussed your serial poem, perhaps a world poem, in two threads that intertwine. Song of the Ondumbulu is a doggone funeral song directed to the spirit world about what you've called rough draft human beings. And the other part is Moo, which refers to several things we pointed out last time, Jane Harrison and Charles Olson's Muthos, which could be defined as irrational speech story with an affinity to the notion of mythos, as well as the mythic lost continent, some have called Lemuria, and the avant-garde jazz trumpeter Don Cherry's LP from the late 60s. What I want to know about is the notion of the serial poem itself. When did you first get a sense that you were doing a serial poem, or did you start this process with the notion that that was where you were headed?
I think I got the notion back in the 1970s. I was writing poems that were individual and more or less self-contained, but I was also reading a number of poets whose work was very resonant for me, and they were working in longer serial forms, and I was also listening to music that was getting into longer forms, and the initial sense I had of things was that those two different things could go on in the same body of work, that you could have individual bounded poems more or less self-contained, and you could have a series. And if you look at the first book I published, the chapbook, Four for Train, it's four poems that are not presented as though they are a part of a serial work, but they are related to one another. And then if you go on to the septet from the End of Time, which was a chapbook in 1983, again, there are eight poems, but they are related to one another. They all begin with the phrase, I wake up. And that had begun with it just being one of those poems, the first one, which is called Capricorn Rising. And I wrote it not thinking that I was writing a set of poems, but that I was writing a single poem. But I found that that phrase came back to me, and I wrote another poem beginning, I wake up, and yet another. And it turned out to be a set of eight poems. So even in Eroding Witness, which is the first full-length book collection, in which those poems appear, there's a mix. The Song of the Ondumbulu, the first seven installments, and then it ends with Septet for the End of Time. So at that point, you know, I was mixing it, but the possibility of serial work was still, was still beginning to germinate. It hadn't got to the point that it's gotten to lately where it's pretty much the defining feature of what I do. But, you know, even at that early, the appeal of the serial form was making itself felt.
What is the appeal of the serial form? What attracts you to it?
The fact that things remain open. It's an open form. You know, the aesthetic, that well-wrought urn aesthetic, where a poem is this discreet, self-contained accomplishment in which everything fits together and works together in this well-oiled, machine-like way, imposes a certain sense of closure on each poem that I find constricting and found constricting. I wanted there to be the possibility of things coming into the poem that were not necessarily resolved in that poem, that were not necessarily pursued to their fullest or most exhaustive sense in the poem. I wanted things to come into the poem that, you know, that would have a life beyond that particular poem, and that would become a part of an exploration that I'd be involved in my writing. And so the appeal a matter of it's there and it's done, but that, you know, again and again, again and again, again and again, you come back to certain concerns, certain motifs, certain figures. In a sense, there's the freedom of not feeling that one has been definitive, you know, that one has closed things up, that one has shut the door on further exploration. You know, that's been a real driving force in a lot of the work that has been important to me, and it's become, you know, I think a feature of my work as well.
Yeah, it sounds like the notion of negative capability, rich with that. Which means on a couple of different levels, you are marginalizing yourself out of mainstream U.S. poetry, which likes that contained poem, something very neat that it can put on one page of an anthology and has a nice little compact meaning that we can use an objective correlative sense to figure out what it means and then kind of consume it and move on.
Material forward, altering it in ways. Some material drops off by